So we're wrapping up our family series today. I got to tell you, as a pastor, there's so many other things that I want to talk about, meaning like I love family. We did the whole month of February with marriage and then family. And so I just want you all to know that there are there's a lot of things brewing inside of me that I want to minister on. And sometimes you have to minister on these particular topics because it's important to learn what the Bible says about how to lead your family, how to be a good husband, how to be a wonderful wife, and all of those particulars. But I know for some people who may have been visiting for a while, they're like, when are we going to like study a book out of the Bible? Like, get me some deep, like, crazy Greek and Hebrew study and stuff. We'll get there. But this is one of those issues where it's like, let's get some of our easier things, which is quotation marks, easy as far as family and marriage, straightened out, you know? Sometimes we can get overthinking with the Bible and things like, all right, we think like, oh, we gotta learn all of this. And it's like, sometimes it's just some simple steps that we need to take. And then we'll get to some of those heavier items. So just FYI, I want to let you know that we're going to get into some heavier items in the weeks to come. But as for this morning, I have promised those individuals that have been a part of this family series this entire month that I was going to speak on discipline this morning. Now, before you get a little out of like whack, and you're like, don't you tell me how to ground my child. I know there's a lot of mama bears in the room, all right? So I will surprise you in what I will be discussing here in a second. But I really want you just to understand that it's not a matter of how many times you spare the rod or use the rod, all right, or whatever. That's not the point, okay? There's a better foundation to talk about, okay? So let's just get it right in. I'll stop talking right now about my prefacing this morning. I just want to make sure all you mama bears don't have your guards up right now. All right? Take down your guards. Okay? You're a great mom. If there's one thing I've learned, let's talk about it. Let's talk. I'm a man. I am married to a wonderful wife. And I have no idea how she does it. Okay, and this is not me bragging on my wife. This is just me trying to talk and understand ladies in general. What I've learned, I never think this way, Terrence, and I know you don't really either. There's such a thing as mom guilt, and I'm like, I go to bed at night. Like, not my wife. She rolls around for a few hours thinking about what she could have done better that day with her kids. And I'm like, they're in the next room. Like, they're just fine. You know, like, she's like, they're malnutritioned in some way. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like, they're doing great. But what if we could have done this today? Or what could we have done better? Or what? And it's like, no, they're great. You know? And so you moms, you're wonderful. You do a great job, all right? Are they clothed? Are they fed? Do you love them every day? Do you tell them that you love them? Do you hug on them? Do you make them hug you? You're doing great, all right? Are you staying up on their studies? You're doing great, all right? Do your kids hate school? Probably. But that doesn't mean you're a bad parent. Right? That just means it's frustrating and they don't know how to basically overcome the frustration. And that's the beautiful part about being a parent. You get to help them decipher through the frustration and the emotions and all the different things. And that's just a part of it. You chose to have kids. So now comes a responsibility. That is heavy at times. They're going to make mistakes. Oh, man, I make mistakes. Anna and I were coming home yesterday, and I was sitting there thinking all the dumb things I've done in life. And I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, why are you saying you're sorry? You're saying you're sorry like you're a murderer. It's like, sin's a sin. That was funny. Everyone laughed. Gosh. It's hard to be a parent. But that's where you just got to relax, and you got to realize, hey, you know what? You have... If you're here right now at church, you're doing great, all right? I mean, you are. And you need to stop beating yourself up, and you need to stop thinking all the lies of the enemy that wants to tell you about how you're a bad parent or what you could have done better or whatever. You are a wonderful parent, okay? So don't allow anything that I say today to cause guilt in some way of, oh God, I'm deficient. I should have been doing this. No, it's not. It's never too late, okay? But again, the premise of today is love. It's all about love. If you discipline in love, you're winning, all right? All right. With adults, there's a lot of things that motivate us. Actually, there's only three things that motivate us, and that's love, food, and money. There's a lot of motivations out there, but for some reason, as we get older, we get more consumed with those types of things that motivate us. With children, it's funny. They have so many things that motivate them that I can't even memorize them all. But one thing that motivates them is positive reinforcement. And positive reinforcement is that praise and encouragement. You should be putting this into your family dynamic, in your training as a parent, that you need to be giving them that positive reinforcement. I was very quick at first when my kids got in sports, that when they got in the car, what did I want to do? Should have done this, son. You should have done that, son. Daughter, you shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do? What were you thinking in that one moment? You had an open shot. Why didn't you shoot it? You know? And then you're like, that's so ridiculous. Because all they want is ice cream. Right? That's it. They're like, I did awesome. I touched the ball. Right? So, then I thought, this is silly. Yes, there is a time for those moments to train them, but not necessarily after a game. Really, those are the moments of just saying how awesome they are. You did great. I'm so thankful that you did this. Oh my gosh, you passed the ball to your teammate. Man, that was amazing. Those are the things that just build a beautiful foundation of encouragement. Another motivation for children is belonging and recognition, acknowledging them. I mean, we've had the kid who didn't belong in the class, and when they came home, it wasn't fun. They didn't want to go back to school the next day, and so it's tough. So you know that that's a motivation, because if they belong and they're recognized, they're seen, that's huge. So maybe they're not getting it in one area, but maybe you can accommodate it in another area. And that just comes back to, I can't give you what that is, but what I can tell you to do is pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you're going to reveal to me how my son or my daughter can be seen and recognized. What can I get them a part of that they will fill that identity and fill that vessel of sorts with, like, I feel accepted and I feel recognized and I feel wanted, and they're excited about those things. I don't know what that is, but that's for you to begin to pray that out. And your Heavenly Father knows your child better than you, and your Heavenly Father will give you a divine plan for that. Another motivation, my favorite, is curiosity. Oh man, I love kids that are curious. Like, this warehouse is huge, and it's so funny to watch some of you parents. You like cringe when you see your kid like running down the hall or beating up the weight scale here or whatever. I, as the pastor of this church, they can do whatever they want. I love it. Now, obviously, yes, they can get injured if somehow they jump on the elevator and start pushing buttons, but stop them at that point, okay? But outside of that, I love curiosity. Why? Well, because curiosity is tied to creativity. It's tied to imagination and actually problem solving. I don't know about you, but I want a problem solver. I want someone who can imagine, see things, and go, I can fix that. Nothing's funnier than the day that Jessica Duncan came by and Mark Schmidt was painting the murals on the outside. And Cannon, actually, I think it was Steven, I think you were actually the one, not Jessica, but I remember Cannon steps out and he's like looking up there and he's like, how much is he charging you to do that? Cannon was like this big at the time, and I was like, well, I don't know, how much do you think it's worth? He goes, I don't know, but I could do it for cheaper. I like Cannon. No joke, I'm not making this up. He goes, I could do it faster too. Problem solver, man. I love that. That creativity, that imagination, the curiosity of things. I want a problem-solving child. I don't ever want to, like, squash that. Like, I want my kids to just dream big. I want to listen to them. That's really important. That's how you continue creativity, is that you pay attention to what they're saying. If they're being creative with you and you're not listening, they're going to stop being creative with you. Because they're going to go where? To a place where they can be recognized, where they can be encouraged. So you have to be aware of what's happening. My child is talking to me right now. Boop, doop, doop. Click off. I'm tuned in. What are you trying to tell me right now? Well, I was thinking I could go in the backyard and I could dig this giant hole and somehow I'll get to Australia and that's where we're going to go for vacation this next summer. And you're like, go dig, my friend. Go dig. Sure enough, 2 hours later. And what are they doing? They're problem solving. They're done with that 2 hours of digging. They go, I can't make it. And then, can you rent me a backhoe? No, I cannot. I love curiosity. Children are motivated by approval. Approve them. Man, approve them. Tell them they're awesome. Give them approval. If they're like, I want to build something, let them go build it. I approve of you going and building this. If they want to do something, approve of them to do this. Approve of them in their schoolwork and in their just like interactions with one another. If they want to build a lemonade stand, let them go build a lemonade stand and give them the approval to do it. Give them some limitations, but without hard boundaries where they can say, oh, this is great. Okay, a little freedom, It's nice. Then they feel approved. It's a great place to build that relationship again with one another. Another motivation is social influence. They want to know, as I said earlier, they want to be seen, but they also want to have that influence socially. And maybe they may not be getting it in school, but again, that goes back to praying and find out what maybe might be that group. Is it Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts? Is it something where they can interact with musicians? Maybe they're musically inclined, right? Or maybe they're intellectual and they want to be a part of a chess. My best friend was the West Virginia State chess champion growing up. That was my best friend. Complete opposites. Complete opposites. I love him. Still love him to this day. But I remember thinking, he's a nerd. But I accepted him and I loved him for it. But that was his group. When he got around those kids, man, they were all about it, you know? Find that for your child. They want to be socially accepted and have that influence, and they need that. It grows them up. It matures them to the level they need to be. Another motivation for children is accountability. So this goes back to giving your kids chores, giving them some responsibility, and then holding it to them. Hey, I asked you to do this. You're a part of this team as a family. You got to be responsible for your clothes, right? You got to be responsible for a clean room, give them some duties. I grew up with the mom that would flip a quarter on my mattress to see, or on my bedspread to see if it bounced. Some of you are like, wow. I still make my bed to this day. I set it all up, make it nice and tight. So all of that to say is accountability. Give your kids some accountability, all right? Challenge and competition is a huge motivator. By the way, they're not getting up because you're thinking, oh, they hate this message. There is a baptism service, next service, where we have 17 people getting baptized. Those individuals are getting baptized, and we have a class at 10 o'clock to help them to understand what we're doing and all that kind of stuff. So FYI. Challenge and competition. Kids need it. Play games with them at nighttime. Teaching them how to be competitive. You don't want the kid to turn the table over when they lose. You don't want the kid to stop halfway. So in these moments, you get to train them and teach them how to be proper in competitiveness. How to show them and instruct them, and it starts with you. All right? Another motivation that children love is sugar. Sugar. Be careful. I'm about to get into all the scriptures in a second. I just wanted to start off with some foundation work here with motivation. Sugar needs to be reined in. I know you're like, don't you tell me how to live my life. I will put Mountain Dew in that baby bottle if I want to. I've seen the addictive behaviors of sugar with children, and it is an addictive behavior of you pacify your child through sugar. I mean, I've seen that where they know we're not going to eat this dinner right here. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to eat it. And then all of a sudden, then they know there's a dessert item, and you somehow con them in by using the sugar. Don't deny it. We've all done it. I've done it. I have 4 children. Only one of them's perfect. And so all of that to say, be careful that you don't use it as a reward system. Then they are being raised imbalanced in a way, and that's where you got to be careful with sugar. And there's a lot of things with sugar that are bad, right? So be careful that they say no to all the food that's good for them, nutritionally speaking, and then out of nowhere, they'll be okay. They're like wide awake and ready for that piece of cake or that pie or that ice cream or some sort like that. And then they're like the best little kid on the planet, and you can get them to eat one chicken nugget, right? One piece of broccoli, and then magically, then they're like, oh, I can eat one, and they'll eat one, and that's all they eat, and then they eat ice cream, all right? So all of that to say, not a great reward system, all right? Not a great way to motivate your children. The same goes for, and I know I will probably stand a little bit closer. This isn't really bulletproof, but I want to believe it is. So just in case you want to throw something at me right now, be careful with the tablet usage. All right, let's move on. We play a crucial role in guiding our children, such a crucial role. Why? Because we're helping them get to that right path. We're directing them, we're moving them, we're shaping them with their life decisions, their habits, their social interactions, that sense of accountability, that understanding of love. I don't want to raise lame children. I want to raise children that are well-rounded. They're like, I can do that. I can do this. I'm capable of doing whatever. And if something hits them and it's hard, then I want them to be able to process it through the Word of God, through the relationship with God, that they go and seek the Father first before they call me up. Like, I'm trying to get them that's the sweet spot moment. I said in the very beginning of this series that I want to move my children from the liability category over to the asset category. Like, I want them to realize that, hey, I'm making a difference, right? And so that's where we as parents step in when we're raising our children. That process must include both correction and discipline. And it's going to help them, and it's going to guide them effectively. You know, parents obviously are going to recognize the benefits of discipline more readily than their children. I know me as a child, I really never fully accepted the idea that punishment was an expression of parents' love, right? All I did was I became a defense attorney, and it was a matter of trying to figure out why the severity of the punishment was there. Like, a week, that doesn't match up. And then, you know, obviously I would compare apples to, you know, oranges. My brother Jeremy is way worse than me, right? Driving that wedge. Look, he gets away with everything. Right? He would say the same thing about me. Josh gets away with everything. Right? So all of that to say, we've got to be careful in our correction and our discipline to help them understand it. That we just don't give out discipline and correction, but we actually give understanding behind it to correct the behaviors, to nurture them and to move them forward. Okay? So as I grew older, as we all did, we gained a clearer perspective. And that clearer perspective is how truly grateful we are that we had parents who disciplined us. So first, let me state why discipline is necessary. And secondly, I'll explain the balanced process of discipline. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child whom he delights. Pretty simple. Proverbs is full of these types of verses that really compound the knowing of discipline being important in a child's rearing. So for instance, we find in Proverbs 1:8, my child, listen, and when your father corrects you, don't neglect your mother's instructions. We see in Proverbs 22:6, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So again and again, there's a responsibility that the Lord has placed upon us, that we are an intricate part of that discipline and correction, all right? So in discipline, you need to understand this. It cannot be replaced by the idea that love is merely an emotion. Let me say that again, and then I'll dissect that. Discipline cannot be replaced by the idea that love is merely an emotion. For example, in parenting, simply feeling love for a child is not enough, all right? And if they're doing something, just bringing them in and hugging them and loving them isn't enough, okay? There needs to be something else that is attached to this, and that discipline is necessary because it's teaching them right from wrong. And when you choose to avoid disciplining your child, then you're giving them an emotional immaturity, okay? That emotional immaturity, they could end up with all sorts of issues because to them, they're just living in the Wild West. I do what I want, say what I want without any type of repercussion. And that is something you got to be very careful. I've seen the kids who yell back at parents. That's alarming at times because you're sitting there going, whoa, hey. And you basically have an imbalance. You have more love in the house than you have some honor and respect and discipline. So be careful about that. Excuse me. But true love, as we know in the Word of God, is demonstrated through discipline, which will ultimately prove itself over time. So the author of Hebrews, in quoting Proverbs 3, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one." Excuse me. Sorry. "He punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure his divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how." Praise the Lord they put that in there, by the way. "But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." Parents, I know how much you love your children. But here's the deal. There needs to be a push on you being the authority in the relationship. That you are the one, all right? That you're the one that sets and guides them. That you're the one who disciplines them. You have to establish this, okay? The Word of God is telling us that it's important. And that is a common thing. And that God is actually ordaining it by speaking it out through his Word. That a father who disciplines his children, okay? So a father and a mother through that discipline and instruction. So with that in mind, keep it that when your children are coming at you and you're just like, oh, you know, I don't have it today. And some days you may not have it. But be careful that those days don't outweigh the days that you do have it. Okay? So you need to have it. That you come in, you go, no. We're not going to talk that way. No. Not going to happen. My three boys are bear cubs, or at least they were, but yet they still are at times. They didn't look at my daughter Carly as any different. Like that just was another bear cub in the house. Well, sure enough, she was involved in one of those moments. Daddy Bear comes off the couch. Oh, no. You don't ever hit your sister. Do you hear me? Because it was easy for one of them, you know. Sure enough, one of them clocked her. And I was like, oh, no, right? It wasn't a hard hit, but it was one of those moments that I set the boundary. I set the tone. Oh, no, this will never happen. And then what came after that? There was correction, and then came my discipline, which was I hit them back. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. I let her hit them right in the face. No, I'm kidding. I'm trying to just make light of it. I don't mean to make light of that. That's not really funny. I apologize. But such a serious tone when it comes to disciplining your children. Again, you just feel like, ugh. So all of that to say, you have to be quick, okay? You have to be quick. God is disciplining us, and it proves his love. When you see actions within your children, and you're like, if you question it a little bit, you need to get on it. You can't let that go, because then you're setting a culture and a standard in your house that it's okay. Because that's what all the kids do. Kids are going to push and push, and they're just wanting to see how far. My wife and I made our bed holy. Our bedroom is holy. Now I know I'm stepping on toes right now. My bed is a bed that belongs to me and my wife. Them kids ain't allowed in my bed. So the minute that all of the breastfeeding was done and all of that, they're in their beds. And unless they were bleeding, barfing, or pooping out their pants, they are not allowed in my bedroom. Period. They know that. They also learned very quickly how to knock. Right? You don't want to see naked parents. So we set standards early. If the door is shut, you knock. You don't just come in. Okay? So all that to say, we set standards. Was that easy? Absolutely not. Really hard. I mean, telling a one-year-old or a two-year-old that when you took them out of the crib for the first time and they had a big boy bed or a big girl bed, oh, let me tell you, it wasn't like they were, oh, thankfully I'm out of this jail. I'm going to lay in this bed all night. No, they're going to pop out. And you have to teach them. You have to train them. You have to show them there's nothing underneath the bed that's scary, right? You have to set up all the different tools, the nightlight that kicks on, the blah, 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 you know. You have to do it, and it takes work, and it's not easy. And it was not easy for me, so don't have this picture idea of like, oh, pastor's kids, they were probably just lovely. We gave them warm milk at night, and they tucked themselves in. You guys are crazy. Weeks. Get out of my bed. Get out of my bed. They'd be like, but Dad, get out of my bed. You have a bed. And so what do? We prayed for that divine plan. Well, we came across the divine plan that was you set them in their bed and you sit there at the end of their bed. And then you move 2 feet every so many minutes and so many hours. Do you think I wanted to do that for weeks? Weeks we did that. But finally, guess what? They ain't in my bed. Praise the Lord. So these are things you have to do. I know it's not easy, but you've got to do it. There needs to be a balanced process of discipline. My first thought with this balanced discipline is you have to have trust. So if there is no trust, there is no voice. There is no voice. Proverbs 3, 5, and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And no difference. We, knowing that God is our refuge, parents, you should be a safe and trustworthy place for your children. You need to give them that trust and that influence. And so you're going to have to build on that. They're going to have to see, all right. And some of them don't get it. They don't get it right off. I mean, we sowed and sowed into our children. Just this last year, my oldest son, Cademan, who's in college now, sure enough, I got that dad phone call. It's like the best phone call you could ever receive. Dad, you're right. Yes. All of that hard work for this moment. He said, Dad, you're right. And I was like, yes, this is it. And now guess what? My son calls me once a week. Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? I think this. I think you should try this. I think you should do that. And I'm like, I have a voice finally in my son's life. I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but it happened. All of that to say, it's a process. It's not easy. Don't give up. But if you treat it in the same way that we're supposed to go to our Heavenly Father and trust in Him, we need to also give our children those moments to trust us. So in our moments of disciplining them, all of the motivational keys that I spoke of earlier, those are those moments you build that trust. You show them that you care and that you love and you're supporting them. You're showing them that you're a safe place. I don't think any of my children in the room, so I can say this. We set it up where we were really smart with girlfriends. We haven't worried about our Carly yet because she's still too young. She already told a boy last week that she ain't dating until she's in high school. And I was like, well, that's wrong, but that's great. But I set this up with my children where we're a safe place. So my children come to me. We didn't make fun of them, right? We talked normal conversation to them about the opposite sex. We started sprinkling sex education from fifth grade up. We didn't go hard at it in fifth grade and be like, well, let me tell you about oral sex. Like, we didn't do any of that stuff. It was like sprinkled in stuff over time. By the way, if you got offended by that, that's the problem with church for decades and centuries now, is that we aren't willing to talk about it. Okay? No, we have to talk about it. That's the problem. The world is talking about it for us. We need to talk about it. All right? So stop this nonsense. All right? That, oh my gosh. That's a problem. We have missed out on generations to have a voice in their life. Okay? So I'm telling you as parents, I'm teaching you as parents this morning that we need to be the influence and the trust and the go-to moments of what's this look like, right? Because it's all around. I'm going to tell you a story. Do not go up to my son, Cademan, and tell you the story. Orientation day at UNC, he's in a group, and there was this girl who was talking about how she can't wait to be with these boys and all this other stuff, and she goes, yeah, I could have had a menage a trois group thing, but I told my boyfriend that I didn't want to do it with his best friend. That was happening in the first day of orientation for college, and my son looked at her and goes, you're gross. And I was like, talk about bold, right? Bold. Just looked at her and goes, you're gross. You're gross. So you have to talk about it with your children so it becomes a safe place. So I love it when my boys come to me and they want to talk about their like a girl they're interested in. And it's not weird. So I've made it very safe for them. Trust is important. As a parent, you can't give discipline without trust. You have to do it. So quality time is important. Quality time helps build that trust. There's a deep interactive experience that takes place. That motivation for engaging in these interactions should come from seeing our children through the right perspective. So in Psalm 127, 3 through 4, it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. Man, I know it's tough at times. Kids are tough, man. I mean, I can tell you horror stories as well as the good ones. I wanted my kids to love soccer. I wanted them to love certain sports, and that wasn't the case. And I would be like out there in the yard, and I'd be like, all right, let's do this. And they're like, oh! And they're like they wouldn't believe me, but they would believe the coach. He's a stranger. And I'm like, I'm the safe place. You got to believe me. And then before you know it, they're like throwing like the baseball glove up in the air and they're running in. And then Anna comes out and goes, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I gave up. Like the minute you try to tell them how to hold a football, I know how to hold a football. You're like, but no, you don't, because it's like this coming at me, right? And it's landing down here. I'm trying to help you. I can tell you all the stories. I can tell you worse, obviously. That's just a fun one. But it's not easy. But put those aside, and you still have to look at your children as a gift, as an arrow in a warrior's hands. You have to realize, oh my gosh, reminding ourselves of how beautiful this gift is and that investing in them is worth it. It's a privilege and a responsibility. You got to involve your children in what you do. Church, work, your hobbies, your chores. I don't know about you guys, but if you follow on social media, I'm not on social media, but my wife is, and so she showed me a video yesterday that just lit my whole heart up ablaze. Pastor Adam, here at the church, he put Nate on the lawnmower yesterday, pushing that yard. I was like, I don't know if Nate's ready for that in my head. But sure enough, that kid's just going at it, walking that. I was like, this is awesome. Like, that's just good stuff. It's responsibility. He's out there filming, approving of it all, giving him responsibility, showing him, hey, I'm involved with what you're doing. Like, this was like one of those great moments. Like, ah, Nate's, he's like, he grew tenfold yesterday after that moment. You know what I mean? Like, those are the powerful moments that we are given that we should take, like, just, like, it's a privilege. We should take honor in this moment of, God, I'm so glad that I get to be a part of this. I get to train them. It's a good thing. Do you know that what children love to hear is family stories? I know my children always loved hearing family stories. Involve them in the family stories. Like at nighttime, tell crazy stories about your grandma. My wife's grandma stories are insane. She gave birth. She had a cup monkey growing up as a pet, and she gave birth to somehow, I don't know, she brought a monkey out from a monkey and took care of this monkey. I don't know. I don't even understand it all, but all I know is that story my children think is hilarious, and they love hearing all about it. All the stories, they love hearing these things. Why? Because it's a generational thing that somehow they're just connected to it. I love it. You guys, I don't know about you, but I love hearing family stories. You're like, really, that's what happened? Somehow I had a great-great-grandfather named George Washington Gresham, who used to live actually here in Orange County. And the story goes that he walked to West Virginia as a barrel maker. And that's where I was born and raised. And somehow, weirdly enough, I came back to this area. That blows my mind. So all of that to say, those stories get you excited. You're like, man, this is fun. Bring your children into these stories. Because why? Because that gives them honor and respect to the namesake that they've been given. They take ownership in this. It means something. A balanced process of discipline, number two. Remember, first one is that you've got to have trust. The other aspect of having that balanced discipline is giving your children unconditional love. This is the key to a life of confidence. So when things happen, that unconditional love is not when you bring down like a hammer at them, constantly hammer. So my kid brings home a C, if he brings home a D, brings home an F, obviously I'm going to tell them, I want you to do better at this, come on. I want to reward the good grades, not just give them all this bad stuff, but I want to surround them with unconditional love without, okay, I understand this mercy and grace. I understand the subject that you're dealing with versus just being like, you got an F in Spanish? I can't even roll my tongue. Right? Grace and mercy is, I get it. This is a tough subject, right? So let's dial back the hardship, bring in some love with mercy and grace and say, all right, how can I help you? What can we do? Maybe we can find a tutor. Maybe we can talk to the teacher for some extra credit that doesn't involve Spanish and somehow involves only English, right? like something, right? So this is where it's really important. God's love is obviously not earned. So neither does our love need to be earned. So we have to be careful with our children. That unconditional love shouldn't be an earned, how, you know, as good as they do, now they get rewarded, or now they get the beauty of things. One time my kid got an F on a test and I went and bought him ice cream. And I taught him a lesson on God's grace and love in that moment. Dad, why are we getting ice cream? I got an F. I don't know, son. But let me tell you about God's unconditional love. And I use it as a teaching moment. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." It's unconditional love. You got to make room for the mistakes. Set real, healthy expectations. In Romans 8:38-39, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." You should be showing and sharing that with your own children from your perspective of the love that you have for them. Nothing can separate us, no matter what happens. I will always love you. I will always be here for you. I will always take care of you. No matter what, I will move mountains. Be present in their life. Be real. Be yourself. But be full of God's love, showing them and demonstrating this to your own children. Now, I told you first, let me give you the reason why you should correct and discipline, which I just did it. Now let me share with you real briefly how to discipline, okay? Now some of you are like, all right, this is the good spot. So I get a paddle and I drill holes in it, right? And I lay it on the wall, right? Set it up there for all to see in the house, and you just point to it. Some of you probably have that. I don't know. Different takes on that. Do you always want to be the guy who's like pointing to it? I don't know. I know the ones that do this. Sorry, some of you didn't grow up with that dad. I did. He could whip it off pretty fast. Right? So, I call those the gunslinger dance. Son! Be careful, right? Be careful. The balance of this, okay? So, I'm actually not going to tell you how to discipline your child. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how big the paddle needs to be, whether it needs to be this moment of sending them out to the thorn thicket to pick out their switch and bring it back. Right? I'm not going to tell you how big the newspaper roll needs to be. I'm not going to tell you those things, right? But I will tell you this. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be direct. It needs to be quick. Not quick in the sense of like it happens, you're just like, no! Like, not like that. Actually, the opposite, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But you can't let it linger for days and then correct, all right? So it needs to be right then. Like, let's talk about this, okay? It needs to be full of clarity. The why behind it needs to be communicated and understood. So really what needs to take place so you don't fulfill that discipline with a wrath of anger because your children are doing something they shouldn't do, but instead, if in the moment it takes place, take a step back. Go to your room. I'll be up there in 5 to 10 minutes. Oh, that's punishment. Like, that's heavy. That's way better than a quick belt moment for sure, because then they're going to sit there and be like, oh gosh, what are they going to do to me? So let them be up there. Let them hang tight. Let yourself get calmed down. Pray for a second. Lord, Heavenly Father, Let your love pour over me right now. Lord, I want to show the right amount of grace. God, I want to show the right amount of mercy. Talk it over with your wife. Make sure you have the same discipline plan, right? Talk it over and go, okay, what's the discipline plan that we're going to have? What's balanced? What's good, right? You don't want to go overboard. You just want it right there in that sweet spot. Pray about it. Talk about it. Come into agreement. Two parents in the household, you need to come to an agreement, okay? But it needs to be direct. So when you walk into the room, look at them and say, all right, let's talk about it. This is a part of the communication. This is what happened. Why did this happen? You can hear about it. And they'll say, and they'll give you all the excuses. It's always some lies in there. There's some selfishness. So you need to, as a parent, decipher through it and go, oh, I needed to get rid of this right here. Okay, get rid of this. Okay, I'm hearing it. All right, let's talk about this, right? Direct. This is what happened. You were selfish. You were consumed with emotion. We don't need to be consumed with emotion. Why you retaliated or why you acted like this. Let's talk about it. You begin to talk to them over and over and over again. Then, as you're communicating it, then it needs to be said. Well, according to God's word, God wants us to be this. He wants us to do that. Always bring in God's word. Always. And then, if you choose to give them a little smack, then you need to test it out on your spouse. I know that seems weird, but you know what I mean? Never use your hands. Listen, never use your hands, right? So if you choose to use a little newspaper or something like that, is that all right? Yeah, all right. I'm just saying if you choose to do it that way, so if you choose to do it, then go, is that, you can do it a little harder. Okay. Oh gosh, don't do that hard. There's a sting. Just, okay, I think I got it. And then you go, all right, on the count of three, I'm gonna give you a little whack. One, two, three, or one, two, three. If it's two whacks on their butt. And obviously it's, the thought of it is more painful than the actual thing. Woo! And then you go, all right. Now, you know what you did, and this is the repercussion of doing it. We don't do this. We don't act this way. Now we're going to pray. And then you pray. And then you say, all right, you can sit here in your room until you're done crying. You can come out whenever you're done crying. Okay? But we take care of it right here. We took care of it. It's done. Got it? Now, if you choose to not do the smack and you choose to just ground them from, punish them from something, then it needs to be consistent. You are not on this for 1 week, 2 days. We've stripped one of our boys everything in their room before. They were without everything. Pictures on the wall. They had a bed for like a month. I know that seems extreme maybe, but there were some things going on that caused for some extreme moments. And that was the plan that we had. And this kid called me from college a few months ago and told me, Dad, you're right. All I'm saying is there's some moments that are going to take some extreme measures at times. Be careful, though. All right? Stick to it. Be direct. Be consistent. Be quick. Be full of clarity. Here's the thing. One way that I framed this discipline with my children often, now I didn't really get to middle school on, was that I framed it in a way of these are opportunities. I don't want you to allow the troubles of this world or the decisions of this world to dictate the opportunities that God has for you. And when you make these decisions and you continue down this path that is not the path that God chose for you, then you're going to be in all sorts of I don't know moments. And it's important that I show you these paths. Right? We already read all about this, right? Proverbs 22:6, direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. So I'm helping my children. I'm guiding them along to say, hey, there's opportunities, man. When you're following the Heavenly Father, there's opportunities. When you're not, I don't know. But when you're following Him. So I'm sharing with my children, this is why I want to give you a plethora of opportunities. I want you to have the heavens open up and the floodgates of God just pouring out upon you. And so there's no distinction between what is good or what is bad. It's only I know what's good because I'm used to being in the good. Will they make up mistakes? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I pray that my wife and I have trained them enough that when they make the mistakes, that they'll go straight to the Father. They'll go straight to Him and they'll repent and they'll say, I am so sorry. I pray that they never lose the depth and the width of God's love in their life. Here's the deal. It's my last statement. Even in our own lives, God's going to deposit some things in you. And then there's going to be a day where He's going to withdraw some of those things. He's depositing a lot of moments. Sitting in church right now, who knows? There's little things that just stick. And that's what you're doing. You're depositing in the same way that God deposits in us. You're depositing because there's going to be a day that there's going to be a withdrawal. There's going to be a need. There's going to be a moment. Such a time as this. Oh, I want my children to be ready for such a time as this. So don't be fearful of disciplining. Don't be fearful to correct. Be quick, be swift, be direct. Have open communication. Show a place of trust. Be unconditional in your love. The kids don't need to earn it. Love on them. Tell them every day how much you love them. Surround them. Make them sit on the couch with you. If they're teenagers, get them out of their bedrooms. We get them out of their bedrooms and they're playing video games, right? And we're like, hey, everybody come downstairs. We're playing a game of Family Spoons. You ever played Spoons? Like, we're living the 21st century with video games and augmented reality on our face, but we're like, let's get the Family Spoons out. And let's play cards. It works every time. There's ideas. These are the ideas that the Gresham House does. I would encourage you to seek those out. Heavenly Father, show us, right? Show us. I asked the band to come out. You got some, get ready. We got 2 minutes. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand to our feet. During this time of 2 minutes of singing, I want you wonderful, amazing mothers in the room to lay the mother guilt at the feet of the cross. All of you husbands in this room right now, all of you fathers in this room right now, you begin to imagine them arrows in your hands. Lord, what can I do with them? How am I training them and instructing them? Begin to imagine that. For you that are believing for children, this is that moment. You put your hand on your stomach. You begin to call out how blessed your womb is, right? You husbands in this room, you grab a hold of your wife's hand, you place it right there, and you begin to pray for that child that will be born. For you singles in the room right now, you begin to pray for your children that will be born someday, that you have everything you need to be equipped to be the best parent for them.